Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
That is correct, as always. It is your weekly dose of conservative witchiness. I know, it's kind of a oxymoron. You're kind of like, what? But yes, it exists. We are here. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you for hanging out with me on this Friday the 13th. You know, there's a lot that has been said about Friday the 13th. But, you know, here's the thing about things like Friday the 13th. It only has strength and power if you believe in it. But we are here nonetheless, and you can, of course, call in here. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620, and, of course, the chat room is always open for your convenience if you want to go that route. And I also want to, I would be remiss if I did not say, that you are also listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Please check it out. There is a ton of awesomely talented people there, and you will find two live 24/7 streams of fabulous internet conservative talk radio. You name it, they're talking about it. And so please go there and check it out. But, of course, as always, there is never a shortage of stuff to discuss here at Conservative Cauldron Radio. Little housekeeping, first of all. For anybody who is in the region that is expecting the mother of all ice storms today, if you do have to go out, please be safe. Use a little common sense and, you know, just put your own safety and the safety of others around you first. And, you know, just don't do anything stupid. Just, you know, do what you can do. And if you can't do it, if you can't get there, you know, that's the way it goes. But so everybody, if you are in the path of the ice storm that is scheduled to plow into us here in the Midwest today, just be safe. But anyway, I have noticed this week that, at least I think, I don't know about anybody else, but I've kind of noticed it myself that there's been kind of a theme this week with a lot of some of the bigger things going on in the news this week. And, excuse me, that theme seems to be, and I think maybe that it's something that's been kind of building over time here, and it's going to get to the point now with Donald Trump and his administration that maybe it's going to reach the, it's going to reach a pinnacle, and it's going to reach a point where something will change because it has to, because it's forced to. And that theme this week seems to me that it is the media and all that they are and all that they are not. You know, pick one, because we could do a whole show here on all the things that the media is and all the things that the media is not. And one of the bigger stories that has come out this week is this this so-called dossier on Donald Trump. And excuse me, this was published by BuzzFeed, and there is a lot of talk going around about the printing of things that by websites, newspapers, what have you, of things that can't be verified, that can't be proven. And I think after a long, long time, because the media bias didn't just start with George W. Bush or with even with Richard Nixon. It's been going on so long. And back in the day when there was only three networks to choose from, they got away with it. And now there's not. There's so many other outlets, so many other credible, not just conservative and right leaning, but people who just want to get the facts out there, be it you know, facts about the left, facts about the right, whatever it is, they just want to get the accurate things out there. And, you know, people are free to pick their Drudge Report, their Huffington Post, their, you know, pick one. And if you, whichever way you happen to lean, and you're free to pick those sites, and that's the beauty of it. But this, the mainstream news media, and I'm talking about the alphabet networks. We all know who we're talking about here. ABC, NBC, CBS, PMSNBC, CNN. We know who the usual suspects are. We know who the culprits are. But not only that, in addition to those, now you do have internet sites like BuzzFeed who are, if they get information, it's more to them about being first than it is about being right. And that's a problem. And when it makes someone on the right look bad, it's not necessarily a problem for them. But if it makes somebody on the left look bad, that's when it will become problematic for them. Because we also know about the glaring, as big as Mount Everest, double standard on the left. But this report, this dossier that has come to light this week, I've been following it like a lot of other people, and as best as I can tell, the story is that this came to light months ago, and it was something that was put together by a former British intelligence agent, someone who was a former MI6, which is, the, for those of you who don't know, the British equivalent of the CIA, basically. And what it said, basically, is that I've heard a couple of the details, and I'm not going to give them here because really they're just kind of gross, and it just kind of gives more power and more it lends credibility to outlets like BuzzFeed. So I don't want to do that. But the story goes, apparently, is that this former MI6 agent put together this dossier on Donald Trump, and it was detailing a lot of very salacious personal activities, things supposedly that he was involved in. But the thing is that whatever these things are, and maybe they are pretty nasty, there are things that went on when he was a private citizen, and which also lends to another topic of conversation is how are you going to get people, and for those of you who know the details that I'm talking about, I'm not trying to diminish them in any way, but when you start churning out details and salacious tidbits like this on people, things that happened when they were private citizens before they entered the political arena, the question goes then, and again, it's a whole other topic for a whole other show, how are you going to get good people to run for office, be it the president all the way down to city council and state reps and state senators, if you're going to dig through every single aspect of their background? Because let's face it, none of us are saints. We all did stupid stuff in high school. We all did stupid stuff in college. We all did stupid stuff when we were in our 20s. So nobody's immune. And if you're going to keep digging things out like this on people, nobody's going to want to run for office because nobody's going to want to go through the anal exam that comes with it. And so anyway, as I digress, this 35-page dossier, my report here is actually from, of all places, the Washington Post, believe it or not, that, again, these were all some pretty salacious behavior and some relationships that he supposedly was involved in and some other things. Apparently a lot of major newspapers, magazines, news organizations have known about this since October. In fact, the Washington Bureau Chief of Mother Jones, which is not a conservative magazine, they wrote a story actually based on the file, but they didn't publish the specifics of what was in the report. So, you know, let's give credit where credit is due. Maybe they said, hey, there's something out here, but we can't verify this, therefore we're not going to include any of the details. This dossier was leaked to intelligence agencies, and it was included in material that was given to President Obama and Donald Trump himself during intelligence briefings. And so the thing is that the head guy over at BuzzFeed here, I believe his name is Ben Smith. They're kind of yes, Ben Smith. They're of course defending their actions, and he's kind of that basically what a lot of people are saying. This is in the style section of the Washington Post here. It's a great column here by Margaret Sullivan. Please check it out if you happen to be looking for interesting things to read. It's a good read. That she said that apparently that BuzzFeed's philosophy is when in doubt, publish, meaning that even if you can't verify the things that are in your story, well, just go ahead and publish it anyway, and you can sort it all out later. Most credible news organizations have their own saying, when in doubt, leave it out, which to me makes a little more sense. But that's not what they did over there at BuzzFeed. They reported on all of this and included lots of details. Ben Smith's defense of this is he says, let's see, there is a quote here from Ben Smith. But basically what he said here is that the readers are all grown-ups and they deserve to be treated as such, not paternalistically, protected from information that might upset them. True enough, but it avoids the larger point. It's a bad idea and always has been to publish unverified smears. So while Ben Smith is saying, hey, you know, our readers are all grown-ups, you know, stop getting your panties in a bunch and let people read what they want to read, and if they don't want to read it, then they don't want to read it. He says, publishing the dossier reflects how we see the job of reporters in 2017, and that is also a whole nother rant. But Donald Trump also held a news conference on Wednesday, and, well, there was some shouting, some back and forth, and some reference to, again, kind of the big first big phrase of 2017, which is fake news. And but, you know, here's the thing, and this is what I believe what Margaret Sullivan is trying to say, is that, and I'm probably going to paraphrase it badly, is that, again, where the question she's asking is, where do you draw the line? Do you want to, in the name of the public's right to know, are you going to give up your credibility and your believability by publishing something before you can verify it? A lot of most credible news organizations aren't willing to do that. And one of the things, too, I think that is also glaringly apparent here is that and we've seen it with CNN since the election, since Donald Trump won the election, is that the left is so beside themselves because Donald Trump won this election because it was so ingrained. It was just understood that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And when she didn't win, all of their plans that they made just on the assumption that she was going to win are out the window. And they don't know what to do with it now. And because not only was it a Republican that won, but it was Donald Trump. And so I think the modus operandi here for the media, I think it's patently obvious, and it's got to be painfully clear to most conservatives and most people on the right now, is that the media is going to view its job for at least the next 4 years, if not eight. The media is going to view their job as getting Donald Trump, being out to get Donald Trump, to make him look bad, to misconstrue the things that he says, to talk about the things that he says out of context, all in an effort to make him look bad, all in an effort to delegitimize his presidency, to delegitimize the things that he wants to do, to get this nation out of the malaise that Barack Obama has put it in. And we're going to talk about Obama's farewell speech a little bit later on because, well, here's a little teaser. He said I and me 75 times. Here's my shocked face. But that's going to be the running narrative for the next 4 years is how can we get Donald Trump? And I'm going to take a break here, a short break. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to play a little bit of a little clip from the press conference that was on, there was a pretty decent shouting match between Donald Trump and a CNN reporter, and just on the face of it, just listening to it, you know, I don't know that I've seen another president in my lifetime treated like this, even another Republican president. But I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about that. We've got, again, I think there's a report here from, this is the Wall Street Journal, I believe, about violence online. And it's there's some quotes here from the Chicago chief of police. And it's interesting to take a look at where our culture has gone. Plus, I got a lot more stuff to get to, so please do not go anywhere. Stay right where you are. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Don't go anywhere. Don't go out in the ice. I'll be right back.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need
the Debt Ninja.
If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need
the Debt Ninja.
Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call
the Debt Ninja.
The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. You may be a slippin' and a slidin' wherever you might be listening today, but if you are, please be safe, everybody out there. If you are in the path of the ice apocalypse, ice storm that is going to blow through the Midwest today. But anyway, you are listening to Conservative Cauldron. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everybody, for hanging with me today on this Friday the 13th. Dun, dun, dun. And, of course, thank you for listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. If you have not listened to it, please check it out. Please do so. You will not be disappointed. But we are talking about, of course, the news story this week, a dossier that was put together by a former British intelligence officer and given to various American intelligence agencies about some supposed, alleged activities, relationships, behaviors by President-elect Donald Trump. And I won't go into any of the details, just the few tidbits that I have heard about it, because I don't want to give BuzzFeed any credibility, and I don't think anybody else should either. But Donald Trump held a press conference this Wednesday, and I'm not sure, after I watched it, my first question was, when are these people going to get a clue that Donald Trump is not going to put up with any of their crap anymore, that he's not going to put up with any of the, and I hate to, because this phrase is being so overused, fake news, but the fake crap that they just make up and publish, when are they going to figure out that he is not going to deal with them the way other Republican presidents have dealt with them by just bending over? But here is a little bit of what went on, what was said, and what went on during the Trump press conference this week on Wednesday. Let's listen.
We've met with numerous candidates. They're outstanding in every case. They were largely recommended and highly recommended by Federalist Society. Jim DeMint was also very much involved in his group, which is fantastic, and he's a fantastic guy. Then Saturday, as you know, we're having a big church service and lots of good things are happening. So our first day, and you'll all be invited to the signings, but we'll be doing some pretty good signings on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then also the next week, and you're all invited. But on the Supreme Court, I'll be making that decision, and it'll be a decision which I very strongly believe in. I think it's one of the reasons I got elected. I think the people of this country did not want to see what was happening with the Supreme Court. So I think it was a very, very big decision as to why I was elected.
Mr. President-elect, the tweet that you had this morning about are we living in Nazi Germany, what were you driving at there? What are you trying to tell the
people? I think it was disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace. That information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. And as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up, and by the way, we just found out I was coming down. Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer. He's a good lawyer in my firm. It was just reported that it wasn't this Michael Cohen they were talking about. So all night long, it's Michael Cohen. I said, I want to see your passport. He brings his passport to my office. I say, hey, wait a minute. He didn't leave the country. He wasn't out of the country. They had Michael Cohen of the Trump Organization was in Prague. It turned out to be a different Michael Cohen. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start with Michael Cohen.
Is there a package?
asking us, can you give us a question?
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir? Can you state categorically, Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question? You're attacking us. Can you give us a question? You're attacking us. Can you give us a question? Can you state categorically? Sir, can you state categorically? Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
You know, it's to hear at the very end of that clip there, to hear a reporter telling the president-elect that something's not appropriate. Here's the thing. People, these reporters, these I mean, I'm using air quotes, journalists have assumed that they run the show for so long now because, again, they have treated Republican presidents prior to Donald Trump just the same way, if not worse. I mean, we all remember how George Bush was called a Nazi every other day. But this is going to be it's a whole new level. It's going to go to a whole new set of non-rules by the media. And for this reporter to be saying that's inappropriate, who are you to decide that? You're not running the show anymore. And that's what they're having trouble. It's what they're having trouble dealing with and getting into their big, thick journalist pea brains. But, you know, I think, again, Donald Trump has this is only the first – he hasn't even been inaugurated yet, and this press conference is the first of many. And I think that, again, at some point, these people got to get a clue that he is not going to put up with what they have dished out to previous Republican presidents. And, you know, in going along with this, and like I said at the top of the show, I think that that there's been a theme here this week. It's a theme about not just the media and the things that they do and the behavior that they display, but I think social media all plays into this as well because, I mean, let's face it, and I'm not immune either. You know, everybody is on social media for quite a bit of time every day. Even if you're working 8 hours, you're dealing with your family, your kids, your jobs, your life. You know, you're sneaking a peek every now and then to see what's going on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. And, you know, when people talk about social media, they one of the things that they include is that they'll comment on how violent that they think that our society has gotten. And that may be, we may be a whole lot more coarse and callous than in previous eras in American history. I'll give you that. And I would also agree that maybe social media plays a huge, huge part in that because, you know, it sounds kind of weird, but human beings have voyeuristic characteristics, some more than others, obviously. But anything that is, you know what I think it is? I think that when people post things on Facebook that are deemed controversial or shocking, they get described with those words by the people who would never have the guts to do it. Or who would never have the, what's the word I'm looking for? They would just never themselves post those things online. And so I guess you could ask a question, is society really more violent than at any other time in American history? Or because of, A, the 24-hour news cycle and the no holds barred, no rules, apparently, as of now, that the no rules practices by the mainstream media that we see now, plus the things that are being posted on social media that people really don't – there's no filter anymore. And so it's not so much that society is more violent or more shocking or whatever, that it's just you're seeing it now. You're seeing it right there in your face. And I've got a report here from, it's from the Wall Street Journal, and it's kind of exactly what it's talking about, because I think this all, it's all balled into one big situation, one big, and because we all know that the treatment of Donald Trump once he becomes president is not going to change. In fact, if anything, it may get worse. And this is just this is the tip of the iceberg. And Republicans and conservatives, we know this. We know that the next four, if not 8 years, this is how it's going to be between Donald Trump and the media. And because they cannot let go of the fact that they don't run the show anymore. But this report I have here is from the Wall Street Journal, and it's talking about how that as people do more live videos like Facebook Live, and Twitter has Periscope, and Instagram, and all the things that you can access now on social media, that is this causing a growth, a spike in violence in general. And what this is talking about is that what they are first talking about, this the dateline here is from Chicago, ironically enough, and it says that the widely shared live video of an assault against a teenager held hostage by four young adults last week shows how far social media has become intertwined in the world of violent crime, posing challenges for law enforcement and social media companies alike. Because again, of places like Facebook, Twitter, they have a set of rules, but for the most part, they rely on their users to kind of police themselves. And if people see something on Facebook or on Twitter that they think is offensive or you know, overly graphic and things like that, that that they're supposed to report it and say, hey, we think you should take this down because it's not acceptable. And I don't know that that's enough anymore, and I think a lot of people are coming to that conclusion too, because I think we all saw the video before it was taken down of this poor special needs young man being assaulted by four teenagers. Well, one wasn't a teenager. People who had targeted him, I think these were four African-American kids who not only targeted this poor kid because he was white, but because he was a special needs person. And both of those things are unacceptable. They're unacceptable in polite American society, and nobody's going to put up with it. And these people have since been found. They've been arrested. They've been charged with felonies. And I don't think they're laughing now, but, this report, again, I think this is from the Wall Street Journal, goes on to say that there have been at least 40 such broadcasts of sensitive, violent, or criminal footage on live video over the last 12 months. This is according to a Wall Street Journal tally of events reported by news media. And in March last year, a Chicago man was unexpectedly shot while live streaming in front of a convenience store. In April, an Ohio teenager was accused of live streaming her friend's rape over Twitter's Periscope. And last month, two teenagers died in a car crash in Pennsylvania after the driver fired up Facebook Live. And again, Facebook, Twitter, a lot of these things, you have the ability to report things that you see if you deem it offensive, shocking, graphic, what have you. But again, it's not enough. And the people in the in law enforcement and those such places who track violence are saying that social media has long been instrumental in provoking and publicizing conflict offline, where insults or a photo posted on Facebook can lead to a shooting. Live video, however, has added a dangerous edge to the online interactions once they go offline. And I'm so gonna butcher this poor woman's name, so I'm sorry, whoever you are. And Galia Bianca, who works with Cure Violence, a nonprofit that works with gang members in several cities to stop violence before it happens, says it is common for a gang to go into a rival gang territory and stream their presence on Facebook Live. And what they do is they go into the other gang's territory, say, hey, here we are, come get us. What are you going to do about it? That kind of thing, to provoke more violence. And this report goes on to say that nearly a third of the more than 500 conflicts that Cure Violence mediated last year in several Chicago neighborhoods were prompted by an interaction online. That's according to the organization's records. So let's keep in mind here that what was the number of homicides that Chicago alone ended up with last year? It was, 762? How many of those homicides started out as something that this group, and God bless them for trying to mediate these things, how many of these homicides started out as conflicts that this group tried to mediate and maybe wasn't able to do so? Hopefully that of the 500 conflicts here that they're talking about, maybe they were able to come to some sort of mediation and avoid any violence, but how many of them didn't? And that's the thing. This report also goes on to say, too, that the woman who live-streamed – and this – wait till you hear this. The woman who live-streamed her friend's rape in Ohio, 18-year-old Marina Lonina, said in court that she was streaming the incident to keep her friend from being assaulted. Well, as soon as your friend began to be assaulted, why did you continue to live-stream would be my first question. And when I saw that, I said, what? You were doing this to keep her from being assaulted? I don't understand. She claimed that she was streaming the incident to keep her friend from being assaulted, but, quote, got caught up with all the likes, unquote, she was getting, according to Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien. The case is now pending. So, okay. For lack of going on and on about this topic, but I think it's a topic that given things like the assault of this special needs young man in Chicago, given the fact that the media is going to treat not just Donald Trump, but anyone associated with his administration in the way that he was, again, I think it's all balled into one big giant thing. Let's look at this case in Ohio very quickly. Your friend is being raped. Your friend is being not just sexually assaulted. Your friend is being raped, and you're live streaming this activity while your friend is being assaulted, and you claim that it was to keep her from being assaulted, but you got caught up in all the likes. So getting as many likes as possible on Facebook was more important to this girl than trying to prevent her friend from being raped. Let that sink in for a minute. Getting likes on Facebook was more important than preventing her friend from being raped. Welcome to America, kids. That's where we are. That's where we are right now today. It's perfectly okay for a reporter who thinks that he is the one in charge to verbally manhandle the president-elect of the United States and yell at him. We have 18-year-olds on social media now who, instead of preventing their friends from being sexually assaulted, preventing their friends from being sexually assaulted, want to get as many likes on social media as they can. Are you kidding me? This is where we are. This is where we are. And, you know, hopefully Facebook says that they're working on some sort of artificial intelligence that will be able to target more violent, more graphic behavior that is posted online and remove it as soon as they can. But, you know, again, that I don't know what else to say about it, but except that that's where we are. This is the social media / mainstream media world that we are in right now. And without tooting my own horn and the horns of others, maybe this is why internet radio, online websites that are going to go out of their way to actually verify their sources, verify their stories, verify their facts, are going to become more and more popular. And the people who are not going to make the effort, well, they're going to go by the wayside, and that includes the mainstream media, because the trust in the mainstream media now is down, gosh, probably hovering around 10% or so, give or take a few percentage points. And they brought it on themselves. They really have no one to blame other than themselves. But anyway, one of the other big things this week is that President Barack Obama gave his farewell speech, and he did not give it in Washington, D.C. He gave it in Chicago. And I kind of saw something while we're talking about social media, saw something online that someone asked the question, how many people were shot in Chicago during this 51-minute speech? Would be an interesting statistic to find out now, wouldn't it? But as you can expect, the president talked about himself, of course. I saw was that he used the words I or me 5 times in a 51-minute speech. So there's that. Of course, he touted all of his, again, air quotes, accomplishments. Let's talk about Barack Obama's accomplishments for just one second. Right now, there are 95 million of our fellow American citizens out of work. There are about 47 million of those who are on food stamps. The level of people who now live in poverty, as opposed to prior to 2008 when Barack Obama took office, I believe the statistic I have seen is it's about 13% more Americans who are living below the poverty level. Home ownership rate has gone down, especially among African Americans. One in five people of the total number of Americans, American households, American families, in those households, there are one in five of those households, there is no one in the workforce. There is absolutely no one in the labor force. And we could go on and on with these statistics. We can talk about the Middle East is on fire. We can talk about we could definitely talk about race relations. My own congressman here in Missouri, William Lacey Clay, hangs a lovely portrait, something that he calls art, in the congressional office building in Washington, D.C., of a portrait painted by a local young man here, portraying cops as pigs. You can go online and see it. It's a lovely work of art. I use that phrase loosely. And Representative Clay will not take it down. But someone I saw this morning has put one of those American flags with the thin blue line in it above the painting. So it was taken down briefly by, I believe, Representative Duncan Hunter of California. But for some unknown, ungodly reason, it's back up again. And so it has been responded to with the flag with the blue line through it hanging above the painting. But very quickly here, before I go to a break, here's a little bit of the chosen one, President Barack Hussein Obama's farewell speech. Here's just a little bit of what he had to say on Wednesday. I believe this was Tuesday night, Wednesday night, something like that. Anyway, this is President Obama.
After my election, there was talk of a post-racial America. And such a vision, however well-intended, was never realistic. Race remains a potent and often divisive force in our society. If every economic issue is framed as a struggle between a hardworking white middle class and an undeserving minority, then workers of all shades are going to be left fighting for scraps while the wealthy withdraw further into their private enclaves. Politics is a battle of ideas. That's how our democracy was designed. In the course of a healthy debate, we prioritize different goals and the different means of reaching them. But without some common baseline of facts, without a willingness to admit new information and concede that your opponent might be making a fair point and that science and reason matter, then we're going to keep talking past each other. Democracy can buckle when it gives in to fear. So just as we, as citizens, must remain vigilant against external aggression, we must guard against a weakening of the values that make us who we are. And that's why for the past 8 years, I've worked to put the fight against terrorism on a firmer legal footing. That's why we've ended torture, worked to close Gitmo, reformed our laws governing surveillance to protect privacy and civil liberties. That's why I reject discrimination against Muslim Americans who are just as patriotic as we are. I'm asking you to hold fast to that faith written into our founding documents, that idea whispered by slaves and abolitionists, that spirit sung by immigrants and homesteaders and those who marched for justice, that creed reaffirmed by those who planted flags from foreign battlefields to the surface of the moon, a creed at the core of every American whose story is not yet written. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. May God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Just a little bit of President Barack Obama's farewell speech given in Chicago the other night, and I'll let you stew on that a little bit, and I'm going to take a break. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about that, and kind of wrap things up here. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Thanks for chilling with me Friday the 13th. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to Fun, Exciting Oldies The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is, I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We're back, wrapping things up here on Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with me on Friday the 13th. How fitting, how ironic. But anyway, before the break, I played a few little tidbits from President Obama's farewell speech the other night in Chicago, and he included all the, normal us versus them things about rich people retreating to their enclaves and, minorities who are not treated fairly and touted his quote-unquote accomplishments, and so it really wasn't a whole lot of surprise. Talked about himself, of course, and I think everything that we know to be true about Barack Obama as conservatives was all pretty glaring right there in just that little clip of things. But very quickly here, I also have something here. This is a report from Roll Call, I guess. And it says that in a study, the economy, believe it or not, was top issue among millennial voters. That could include things as college tuition and things of that nature. But this says here that a study by the Millennial Impact Report surveyed 350 young voters, and they had surveyed in different waves throughout the election. The organization found that millennials had considered education to be the most important topic during the election through each of three waves of surveying. However, this changed when respondents were surveyed between November the 9th and November 14th. The survey showed employment and wages were the primary concern for millennial voters. The study also showed roughly 80% of all millennials surveyed said they voted in the election. In addition, the survey showed that the number of millennial voters who said they voted for Republican candidate Donald Trump nearly doubled post-election compared to those who said they were voting for him before the election. Most millennials who gave their rationale for voting for Trump said he had the highest possibility of improving the economy since he was a businessman. Many who did not choose between Trump or Hillary Clinton said it wouldn't have made a difference due to the Electoral College and because, quote, the lesser of two evils is still evil, unquote. Well, that being said. So while the left was trying to tell us that free stuff was the most important thing to millennials and college tuition, which is understandable. They also see their friends, they see their parents, they see their friends' parents. They see a lot of people who are out of work and unemployed, and they're seeing what's going on around them. They're seeing what's going on in their everyday life, and they know even if you solve the issue of college tuition and things of that nature, that once you get out into the world, you have to be able to get a job. And if they are not seeing that, then that is going to have some impact on A, if they vote, and B, how they vote. But another thing here very quickly, a survey, Barack Obama not liked by the majority of U.S. troops. This survey, it says, the new Military Times Institute for Veterans and Military Families poll, enlisted troops who don't approve of Obama, 51.2%. Enlisted troops who do approve of Obama, 34.8%. Enlisted troops who are neutral, 13.1%. The survey of 1,664 was conducted December 16th through the 21st and has a margin of error of about 2%. So, you know, maybe they will enjoy their next commander-in-chief. I have a feeling that they will be much more, our brave men and women in the military who put their lives on the line every day for us, will be much more satisfied and much more content with their next commander-in-chief. But very quickly, before we got to get out of here. This is from a website called Stuff, and the headline of this cracks me up. Woman's annoying passport application rejected because she's, quote, an annoying vegan. I love that. I just love it every time I read it. A woman in Switzerland has been refused a passport because her, quote, annoying vegan campaigning has rubbed her neighbors up the wrong way. Nancy Holton, 42, is a vegan and an animal rights activist who was born in the Netherlands but has lived in Switzerland since she was 8 years old. She's fluent in Swiss German and her kids are Swiss citizens. Holland has twice tried and failed to get a Swiss passport because other residents in the community of Gipfoberfrick in the canton of Aargau don't like her outspokenness on animal rights issues. In Switzerland, locals often get a say in a person's passport application, and Holton's neighbors have given her a thumbs down. Her opposition to local traditions like hunting, piglet racing, and cows wearing bells, and her complaints about the village church bells have seen her branded annoying by locals. In 2015, her first attempt at naturalization was approved by authorities, but 144 out of 206 village residents rejected it. Her second effort was rejected in November. However, Holton has appealed to the provincial government, which could overturn the locals' vote. Many people think that I am attacking their traditions, but that was not what it was about. What primarily motivated me about the cowbells was the animals' welfare, Holton told This Local, which is a local publication, I assume. Residents said Holton's causes weren't the issue. It was just that she'd been so vocal about them, making regular comments to the media. Local political figure Tanja Suter said Holton has, quote, a big mouth, and residents wouldn't support her citizenship if she annoys us and doesn't respect our traditions. A spokesman for the local government, Jürs Trier, suggested Holton wasn't wanted in the community. The reason that why they gave, yet again, clearly rejected the naturalization is that Nancy Holton often expresses her personal opinion in the media and also gathers media coverage for rebelling against traditional Swiss things within the village. It can cause the community to not want such a person in their midst. My advice to Ms. Holton would be, eat a burger. With that, I am out of here. Please go to conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Lanterns Buzz, some new stuff coming up there. Please check it out. Politichicks.com, some new stuff there coming up. Facebook.com/Becky Noble and Twitter at Patriot Witch. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Those of you in the path of the storm, please be very, very safe. Use common sense. I am out of here. Have a fantastic weekend. I will see you next time.